From theunce.com, this is The Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Hello and welcome to The Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week, my guests are Justin Abishan and Kurt Heine of the intelligent electro-crunk duo Arch Nemesis. Heine, bassist for Telepath, and Abishan, formerly of Land Squid and his solo project MO Theory, formed Arch Nemesis a little more than a year ago in an attempt to tackle some new genres and create an original sound. Their debut EP, Diamonds and Glass, is going to be released on 1320 Records this Thursday, October 7th. Let's get to the interview. Let's go ahead and start with you, Kurt. Tell me about your musical background, what you were into as a kid, what you started playing, and take me up through the time where you started playing bass for Telepath.
I actually started as a classically trained cellist, played in symphonies and classical music for 10 years, and then decided that that wasn't what I wanted to do and started playing guitar. Then from guitar, kind of moved into the keys, and then from keys, then kind of moved into bass, and actually started playing bass in a band in Washington State. When I lived out there, there were three guitar players and no bass players, so for some reason I just felt like, I just felt the bass and felt like I wanted to play bass in the band and just kind of picked it up and started learning from there. So I actually started playing bass out of necessity, and then, you know, that kind of led me through a couple of moves across the country and ended up in Asheville, where I played in a reggae band for a little while. And then, yeah, eventually just met up with the guys in Telepath and just kind of locked in and clicked, and then I've been doing that for the past 4 years.
Okay. And Justin, did you learn how to play keys before you became a DJ?
Yeah, absolutely. I started taking piano lessons in third grade, and then I stopped for a while. I was kind of forced to, actually. And then I stopped for a while, and my older brother had continued with it. And then when I was in, like, eighth grade, I heard him playing, and I was like, man, I want to be able to do that. And so I started up again, and I had a really kick-ass teacher, Rick Zelli, and we would spend, you know, it was our lessons, and we'd spend half on scales and classical music, and then the other half learning the kind of stuff that I wanted to learn. So, yeah, pretty much, I've been playing the keys for a long time now, man.
What was your introduction to electronic music?
I hate to say it, man. I saw the Disco Biscuits, and I guess that's more Jamtronica, but that was kind of my first introduction into, like, synthesizers and stuff like that, you know? I mean, I had heard, you know, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and ELO, and all that stuff, but when I actually saw the Biscuits live, that was what kind of turned my head to the more electronic scene, I guess. And then from that point out, that was in 99, I guess, and I've just kind of been into it ever since then.
And you started producing beats as well?
I did. I brought a little, it was a Roland 505 groove box that I started on, and I was making just little beats here and there on that thing, and then eventually about 4 years ago, I bought the laptop and bought Ableton and just pretty much just delved it in.
And all that pimp shit, everybody let me hear you say, oh, gayer. Now, don't dance in the air. We'll be right back.
One more time from Arch Nemesis right here on the UNS podcast.
Kurt, how did you two meet, and then when did it become evident you needed to get in on a project together?
We actually met through shows playing together. We had Justin's solo project, MO Theory, Support Telepath a couple times in Charleston, and The Land Squid, which was the other band he played with, support us as well in a couple different markets, and just kind of became friends and knew of each other and in the different projects, but never actually had worked together. And then actually one night in Charleston, after he had supported Telepath, I asked him, I said, you know, we should try to do something together because, you know, we both have these other things that we wanted to do outside of the projects we're playing in currently at that point. So we talked about it, and then, you know, we kind of went our own ways for a little while and kept doing our own things, and then just came back together again, actually, like 3 or 4 months later, and decided that we wanted to do it and started talking. And then we just decided, hey, let's try to do this thing, and started putting material together. Justin had a lot of stuff from MO Theory that he had been doing. We started revising that and started bouncing ideas off each other, and then kind of sort of coming up with what is now the Arch Nemesis sound, and, you know, are still using some of the old stuff that Justin was doing and reworking that kind of stuff, and then writing a whole bunch of new material now. So it's been interesting, and it's been fun.
Okay. Now, Justin, can you tell me what intelligent electro crunk means exactly?
I guess it means that we put a lot of thought into it. It's uh-huh. not just, you know, a couple of schmucks up there doing whatever, you know. We put a lot of thought into it, and everything is, aside from some of the horn samples that we rip and whatever, it's all built from scratch. So we start with a couple of VSTs or some sort of drum sounds or whatever, and just kind of build from there. You know, all the bass lines are created and all the beats are created, and you know, so we basically, it means we put a lot of time and a lot of thought into it.
And also the, you know, kind of going back to what we talked about earlier, like, first and foremost, we are, like, musicians. We're, you know, a keyboardist and a bass player. So, you know, that coming into play is, you know, more of the organic sort of vibe coming in. And then, you know, also the sound, I think, is kind of crunk, just that dirty, like, just crunk kind of sound. So, mm-hmm. And it's definitely electronic. So it's kind of incorporating all three into that. But, you know, I think it's important that what we're doing is we are keyboard and bass players first, and then have added that into the overall sound. So a lot of that, like Justin said, a lot of the stuff that we're doing is, you know, it is from basically just building from the bass up, other than a few samples that we might use, but everything else is, you know, is built from the bass up.
I wonder, do you do it then, is it a straight up 50-50 collaboration, or does one of you sort of come in with an idea and the other one adds something on top of that? How does that creative process work?
It goes both ways. Kurt will come to me with an idea that I can elaborate on, or I'll start with an idea that Kurt can elaborate on. And, you know, it's nice now with what we're doing. I live in Charleston. He lives in Asheville, to where we can either send space each other stuff. We Skype a ton, and where we can look at each other's screens and see what each other is doing or how we're doing it. But as far as, it's not just one guy writing tunes and one guy not. It's a collaboration between the two of us. And I'll start with something, or I'll hear a sample that I like, and then I'll let Kurt run with it, or vice versa. Some of the stuff, you know, I'll wrote, and then kind of get the other's approval, and vice versa. So we definitely, I guess, collaborate and share on each other's ideas. So far, it's been a pretty awesome process.
That sounds like it. That sounds like it.
Yeah, and we all, you know, we work really well when we're together as well. So we work a lot on the road, you know, in the van when we're driving. We have, and like Justin said, we're able to, you know, we have intentionally pretty much the exact same setups on our computer. So we're both running Live 8. We're both running the same VSTs. We're both running the same everything, so that, you know, we can actually send space Ableton files back and forth, and all we do is just bring it up and everything is there because we have exactly the same of everything. So, you know, Justin has a track that he's happy with the arrangement on, and then he'll send it to me, and, you know, I'll work on mixing it down, and I'll do the mixing side of it from my end while he's working on something else, or vice versa. And so there's constantly two things going on, and they may not be working on the same track, but it allows us to be able to do two things, you know, at once in two different cities, and, you know, be the most productive that we can, especially when we're out on the road, because we're riding a lot when we're on the road. So it's a pretty cool setup. And the Skype thing too, you know, we're able to share screens. So if I'm working on something, I've got a question, or vice versa, we can actually bring the other person's screen up on their computer and say, and they can watch what we're doing. And I can say, hey, Justin, like, this is what I'm trying to figure out. And he can watch me, and he may have some ideas or vice versa. So it's actually a pretty cool system that I think we have worked out right now.
Turn from the Arch Nemesis EP Diamonds and Glass, out Thursday on 1320 Records.
Now, Justin, tell me about your debut EP Diamonds and Glass. What were you trying to accomplish with the record? Did you have some sort of artistic vision, or was it just, hey, we put together these five or six really sick tracks and you know, that's our EP?
Well, we wanted to get something out as soon as possible. And, you know, from the beginning, we always knew we were going to put it out for free, A, because nobody buys CDs anymore, and B, because legally we pretty much can't put it out and sell it. So there was, I mean, there's some general themes going on throughout all the tunes, but I thought that for the most part, we just wanted to get something out that we were proud of that I could let my mom listen to, or, you know, my brother or my best friend, and they'd be happy with it, and something that we were happy with, that, you know, that we wanted everybody to be able to hear. And, you know, there's a bunch of different styles that kind of, I don't want to say flow through it because it's not a whole album, but we try to touch on a little bit of everything and show what we can do when we play, when we do our live shows.
Okay. I'd like to come back to your live shows in a second, but first, Kurt, do you feel like your time with Arch Nemesis has an influence on what you're doing with Telepath, or do you try and keep your worlds separate?
No, not at all. Those are two separate worlds. And, you know, Telepath is more of a project where, you know, one person is writing majority of the music. With Arch Nemesis, it's a mutual thing where, you know, we're both contributing equally to the process. So it's two totally different worlds, and I really keep the two as far apart as possible.
Okay. Okay. So, Justin, I'd like to know what kind of gear each of you is using on stage and how you work together to produce the Arch Nemesis sound. It seems like you've got some clearly defined roles when you're in the live setting.
Yeah, absolutely. We both have Macs that we use, and we're both running off Ableton, and we've figured out how to sync the computers. So we're doing a master-slave thing. As far as the live stuff, I have some VSTs pulled up where I can actually play the keys, trigger different scenes with the pads. And then as far as, I guess, Kurt's setup, he has some VST stuff where he can actually play the bass live. And some of the stuff is actually, it's cued to where they're just audio tracks. And there's different options that we can sort of jump to. So it can make it, the live experience, not exactly like it is on the record, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, we just kind of did like a hybrid of, you know, of the audio stuff and the VST stuff, the MIDI stuff, you know. And we're still learning. I mean, it's definitely, some of the stuff is predetermined where we know we want it to drop here, or we know this is going to happen here. But there's definitely some live elements to it also. We'll be right back.
Face to face from Arch Nemesis, let's wrap up my interview with Kurt Heine and Justin Avachon.
So after this big fall tour, Kurt, do you both go back to your respective projects, or will you try and sneak Arch Nemesis shows in and around the Telepath touring schedule?
Telepath is actually touring through October 30th and then is going to be taking a break. So Arch Nemesis is actually, we have a show on Halloween night proper in Charlottesville with the Disco Biscuits and Bonobo, and then that will launch us into November and December, where it's going to be pretty much full Arch Nemesis and through end of the year and then into the spring. So pretty much Nemesis is the main focus at this point.
Okay. And Kurt, when can we expect to hear the Arch Nemesis full-length record?
We're going to release it early 2011. We haven't set a finite release date yet because we just released as of, it was announced last night, and it's actually official release date, October 6th. We're releasing the EP on 1320 Records, which is Soundtribe's label, and we're in talks with a couple different people about the album, so I can't give you a finite date until we solidify something and who we're going to release the album on, but it will be early 2011.
Perfect. And Justin, how long till you kidnap Kurt and make him go on Arch Nemesis tour full time?
October 30th? I guess the student Telepath is taking their break. Hopefully Arch Nemesis will continue to grow and, you know, people come out and see us and they'll be, you know, we can hit it pretty hard. I know after their tour ends on October 30th, like Kurt said, we got the show with the Biscuits on Halloween, and then we'll have some, you know, 3 and 4 date runs through the end of the year pretty much, and then hopefully we'll have a fairly decent New Year's run and then spend probably most of January trying to finalize the album, and then there will be ideally a very big tour coming up sometime February, March of next year to support the new album.
Fantastic. Kurt Heine, Justin Avachon, thank you guys so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, thank you as well. And I appreciate all the fans as well. I just want to say a thank you to everybody who has downloaded our EP and all the positive feedback that we've received about it. It means a lot to us, and we really, really do appreciate it. So if you enjoy it, keep spreading the word, and we look forward to seeing everybody somewhere in some random city somewhere very soon. So thank you guys.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Thanks goes to Justin Avachon and Kurt Heine of Arch Nemesis. Their EP Diamonds and Glass is out this Thursday on 1320 Records. The first bracket of the UNS Challenge is up now. 16 competitors have been selected for the Glitch My Brakes bracket. Go to theUNS.com/theUNS Challenge to vote for your favorite track. The top two finishers move on to the next round. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theUNS.com.